Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In our epistle lesson, St. Paul encourages us to grow to the maturity in faith, not being children tossed about by every wind and wave of doctrine. Children, they can be fickle, can't they? One moment they love you, the next moment they don't. One minute they want peanut butter and jelly, the next minute they want grilled cheese. They change from moment to moment. They're fickle. Well, I'm going to be a little fickle this morning because it says I'm supposed to be preaching on the epistle lesson this morning, but I really can't say that I'm going to be completely in the epistle lesson this morning. For instance, in our Old Testament reading, the people are grumbling. And they're sitting there and they're saying, "Oh, that we were back in Egypt where we sat beside the campfire with the meat pots and all that food. And this morning, as I was thinking about that reading and that grumbling and what the people are saying, how they wish for the olden days, the song, the theme song from All in the Family was going through my head, and I wondered if there was Edith and Archie in that group from Egypt in the crowd, longing for the old days. And then it struck me that I'm like those children of Israel from time to time, longing for the good old days. I don't know about meat pots around campfires and stuff. Those are fun memories from growing up. But there are other things that, while they weren't necessarily the best of times, they weren't necessarily the worst either. And what I have in mind is partly what we're talking about, or what Paul is alluding to in our epistle lesson, where he talks about growing into the unity, the oneness of faith, and the fullness of Christ. And this hymn that we just sang, "Onward Christian Soldiers," I don't know when the last time was that I sang that hymn. I mean, I've sung the LWML hymn to that tune, but not "Onward Christian Soldiers." And I was thinking, when I was young, we would sing that quite often. In fact, I remember going with my grandparents. It was sort of an outdoor service. I didn't know where exactly it was. It was out somewhere on this hillside. And we had to get up really early because it was like sunrise without it being Easter, and carrying lawn chairs. And I'm Lutheran, my grandparents aren't Lutheran, and there's all these other people that I don't know who they are or where they're from. But we're singing "Onward Christian Soldiers." And it's like, I know my grandparents are Christian, but they're not Lutheran. They know I'm Christian, but I'm not what they are. And that was okay, because they knew what they believed, and I knew what I believed. In high school, I got in a fight with two of my best friends. You know what it was over? They were Catholic, and I was Lutheran. And in those days, we didn't have Saturday night church, except the Catholics had Saturday night mass. And in my mind, my stubborn German Lutheran mind, Christians go to church on Sunday morning, not Saturday night. Doesn't matter if it's homecoming and we're going to be out late. We still get up for church early on Sunday morning. But my friends, no, we want to go to Mass Saturday before we go out and have fun for homecoming, because we want to sleep in late. And we got into this big fight. We didn't talk to one another the whole day. And I remember having this big discussion with these two fellas about why everything in school always seemed to go the Catholic direction. Well, it was a Catholic community, so we were outnumbered. even had my Wisconsin Synod friends backing me up. Yeah, that's right. I guess I didn't know I was Missouri Synod. But the point that I'm getting at is there was a time when we understood that we were Christian. And we understood that there were differences among Christians. And that was okay. The problem is that we didn't always handle those differences as St. Paul encourages us to do by speaking the truth in love. We'd say bad names. In fact, last night after church, somebody was telling me that in this one town in Wisconsin, the history was that the Catholic boys and the Lutheran boys beat one another up after school because one was Lutheran and one was Catholic. After school activity. But that was the mindset. In my own family, my great-grandmother was Catholic. She married a Lutheran. And her family disowned her. Now, that isn't necessarily speaking the truth in love. But the concern is, the concern I have, is that in our world today, I don't know if we make those distinctions about what we believe. Because we live in a melting pot society where we've all melted together, more or less. And that isn't necessarily a bad thing. But it also opens us up to be, like St. Paul says, children being tossed about by every wave of doctrine, every sort of human cunning. And so we open ourselves up to be led down a path that maybe doesn't lead us to what is God-pleasing. When I was in college, the ecumenical movement was sort of in its big heyday. I didn't know anything about an ecumenical movement. Grew up in a small town, in a small church. This is what you believe. This is what we believe. You believe it. Come to college. Oh, you only believe that because that's what your parents taught you to believe. And that's because that's what they were taught to believe. You got to open up your mind. You're in college now. Open up your mind. There's a whole world out there. Yeah, there was, but not everything out there was profitable or beneficial. And I said, no, I don't. I could actually say, through that experience, that no, I don't believe that because that's what I was taught, or that's because what my parents taught, or that's the way I was raised, or socially conditioned, the way the sociologist would put it. But because in my heart, that's really and truly what I believed. And that set me apart, and it set me at odds with others. I didn't acknowledge that they weren't Christian, but they were different. We want to be one. We want to be one. But St. Paul isn't talking necessarily about an earthly oneness. He talks about attaining that fullness of Christ. And none of us in this world are going to be able to attain that full measure of Christ in this life because we're sinful. And even within ourselves, we don't all agree, do we? Hopefully, when we disagree, we seek to speak the truth in love. But that doesn't always happen. Because we're sinners. And we're not going to agree. But we should agree on the important things. That Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Born of the Virgin Mary. Suffered under Pontius Pilate. Was crucified, died, and was buried. And on the third day rose again. As we confess in the Creed. And it should be disturbing to us that some Christian congregations, some Christian denominations don't even profess that creed openly. That's what it means. That's what we're confessing. We're confessing that we're Christian. That's what it means to be Christian. Armor Christian soldiers probably isn't a politically correct hymn nowadays, because now we have to allow for worldly religions to come in. And we see our young people buying into this Eastern mysticism and spiritualism of all sorts, partly because they've lost their grounding in what it means to believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior. There was an instance when I was in North Dakota. Our brothers and sisters in the ELCA had just passed their statement on human sexuality or something. It caused a great stir. And of course, the newspaper, Lutherans say that homosexuality is an acceptable behavior, God-pleasing behavior. Boy, did that cause a stir. And the area, Missouri Synod Churches in the Fargo-Moorhead area, took out an ad, full-size ad, saying this is what we believe. Wasn't condemning the others for what they had said, what they had approved at their synod assembly. Simply saying, this is what we believe. This is what sets us apart from them. And sort of opened the door, because there would be people that don't agree with what their church body had determined. Well, one of the members of our congregation that I served brought that paper in. Said, hey, we've got those people living in our communities. We've got those churches, and we know that they don't agree with those things because we sit at coffee hour with them. And that's the big buzz in the cafe for the 3-hour morning coffee and the 3-hour afternoon coffee between plantings or cultivatings or whatever. And one of the members was so agitated and upset that somebody would even bring that up. And he said, we have family members in there. And he took it as an affront. It's like, no, we're not. But we need to speak the truth in love that this isn't what we agree. Some years ago, the Episcopal Church in New England, New Hampshire, consecrated a gay bishop. And there was a big stir, and the Anglican bishops from Africa made a statement and said, no, this is wrong. And on Meet the Press, or one of those ABC with one of those news people on Sunday morning, this bishop from Washington said, who do those Africans think they are telling us Americans what we can and cannot do? And I said back to the TV in a rather irate voice, they're the body of Christ telling the body of Christ that what you're doing is wrong. They know what they believe, and they're standing up for it. And that's what we need to do in our world, in our society, because the day will come. I'm certain. The day will come, because it has happened in the past. Happened to our ancestors who came from Germany, where the state said, this is what you will believe, this is what you will teach, this is what you will confess. And our forefathers said, that may be what you teach and you confess and what you believe, but it's not what we believe and not what we teach and not what we confess. And so they came to America to teach and confess and believe the truth of God's word. Some of those things of the old days were wrong and hurtful. Families telling their son or daughter, you're dead to us because you're going to marry some other Christian. Not necessarily recognizing that in the vast variety of Christendom that we still believe in Jesus Christ as our Savior. Not speaking out
the truth in love, but speaking it out in anger and bitterness and hatred, or simply failing to speak at all, to stand up for what is right. But there were good things, because people knew what they believed. People knew what their church stood for. And they saw the church that believed and taught and confessed what they believed and taught and confessed. Not because it was the greatest, latest fad, or because everybody else was doing it. But the bottom line is really expressed by our Lord Jesus in our gospel reading. The people are asking, what sign are you going to do that we should believe in you? Now, their question to Jesus sort of assumes that they already somewhat sort of acknowledge that he's the one that the Father sent. But they want some great sign. And Jesus said, Moses didn't give you the bread from heaven. Moses gave you manna. It wasn't bread from heaven. Well, it was, but it wasn't the bread from heaven. The Father gives you bread from heaven. And he is the one who comes down from heaven and gives his life for the world. When Jesus speaks about Moses, it's the past. When he speaks about the Father giving, it's the present. And the people say, Lord, give us this bread always. Lord, give us this bread always. Lord, give us this bread always. It's almost echoing the words of the woman at the well when Jesus is talking about the living water. And she says, Lord, give me this water always, so that I won't have to come to the well to draw. Well, she doesn't quite understand what Jesus is talking about. I don't know if these people understand it either. But Jesus says, I am the bread of life. He who eats will never hunger, nor will he thirst. The day may come when the church's voice is silenced as to proclaiming the bread of heaven. Does that mean the bread of heaven will cease to exist? By no means. Does that mean that those who believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior will stop believing because somebody says, can't believe that anymore? I doubt it. Look to the Soviet Union. For all those years, everybody thought the church was dead. Oh, the wall's down. Let's quick run in there and bring them the gospel so that we can get it in there before they close up the wall again. Why were we surprised to know that the Word of God was still there? It had been there all along. They didn't have books. They didn't have hymn books. But they had the Word of God in their minds and in their hearts to pass on to their children. They knew what they believed. They knew why they believed it. Likewise, we in our day, we need to know what we believe, why we believe it, so that we can pass that on to our children's children, so that they may say, Lord, give us this bread always. He is the living bread. And he comes to us today in the body and blood, the bread and the wine at the altar. And he feeds us. He feeds us so that we may be sure and strengthened in our faith that he is the Son of God, that our sin is forgiven, that we have the hope of everlasting life, and that we may know what we believe and why we believe. May God grant us that blessedness and that conviction in our lives, in this world, that we may see the world to come. Amen.